Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, recorded at the Sideways Walking and Art Festival in Belgium, I talked to Bram Thomas Arnold and Eleanor Wynne Davis, who collaborated on a Belgian transect. Here we are at the Sideways Festival with Bram and Eleanor. You don't normally work together. You do occasionally, but you came together to work together in a collaboration. Can you tell us what took place?
Well, I guess Elle and I started working together on our MA. Sort of, we met 6 years ago in Devon, and then we worked together quite a bit during our MA. Since then, we've sort of failed to live anywhere near each other or actually managed to pull off a collaborative piece of artwork. We've run a few projects. We spent an awful long time once developing a proposal for a very elaborate scheme that then was afflicted by the financial collapse of the Wrexham and Shropshire Railway in 2009, who Deutsche Bahn pulled their funding from. So we've basically just been looking for an opportunity to collaborate ever since, and our first collaboration was based around a long walk across Wales. We found this Sideways Festival proposal, and we're like, wow, we could go for a walk together and re-explore what we were interested in about working together on footpaths.
In some ways, we sort of wanted to keep what we were going to do quite open so that we could explore the collaboration whilst exploring the path, rather than fix what we were going to do and then not have a chance to explore that collaboration,
working together.
Now, principally, you're a musician.
I practice every day. I actually practice classical violin every day.
Although my main living is conversational art.
And you're principally a writer, performer?
Principally a visual artist. I work a lot with writing and performance, but I'm currently doing a part-time PhD at Falmouth and make a living off making coffee as well as making art.
Let's explore a bit more about the Belgian transect, which is the collaborative piece that you've brought together. Can you explain what's taking place?
So we've sort of been exploring our relationship together in relationship to the park. So basically we've been sort of looking at this, a Belgian transect, as having three articles within it, one of which is myself, one of which is Eleanor, and the other of which is the park across Belgium. A transect is a word we adapted from ecology methodology, whereby you place a line across a certain distance and intersect it with small interventions or observations, or it's basically used in ecology to do biological field samples of a given area. And I became very interested in how you could transect a country by walking through it.
And so that previous collaboration that we did, we walked a gas pipeline and a power cables separately but together.
Across Wales.
In Wales. So I walked in South Wales and Bram walked in North Wales. So this was interesting because this was us coming together and actually walking together. So whilst we've worked together before, actually quite a bit of our collaboration previously
has been remote,
came about through us doing something separately but together.
Yeah.
So this was something really interesting to actually come together and walk at the same time. We had a violin with me looking at music and what would this walk bring out of me. Bram looking at words, but then alongside that our interest in books we were carrying with us, what inspiration we might come from there, the people we were travelling with, because of course as part of Sideways we've also been travelling with the group, the caravan of Sideways. But we've also had our sort of wider interests in sounds and what's going on, what has it that's sort of taken our eye as we've travelled, so what's drawn our attention. So in a way, there's quite a freedom with that, in that, to be quite reactive. So to respond in the moment and go, oh yeah, look, this is a good place. Oh, we could do something here. Or actually, what have we been feeling today? What's this feeling that we're getting? And what's that about? And quite a lot of the time whilst we've been walking, because we've often walked quite separate from the group, and that's partly been around just us talking and talking ideas and maybe meeting the odd person along the way, sort of seeing what ideas percolate.
At each transect, that's where you make some kind of intervention or performance. Did you set off, or have you set off thinking,
okay, we're going to do one today and sort of pre-plan it by doing a bit of homework about the route that you're going to follow, or try to link it to some sort of thing you're likely to pass through? Has it been something that you've sort of done on the spur of the moment?
I think we've explored all those. So it's almost, it's become a transector transecting. We have had that day where we looked at the map the night before and went, okay, look, we've got all these churches coming up, let's go church to church to church, and each church became a transect.
But even within that, during the day, we had the idea that we'd go to the churches, but we didn't actually, I knew I wanted to record.
Mm.
But beyond that, before we started walking, we hadn't decided
what would
happen at each church. And actually, as we visited each church, it sort of became clearer, all right, actually we'll record, we'll take a photo, and at some of them we'll do a field broadcast.
The theme of churches was just one day, wasn't it? It wasn't something you've taken the whole duration of the walk so far. It was just one theme.
But it was one day that came out of a series of days and us resting at churches, and then every time we rested at a church, hearing the bells, and then Eleanor going, I haven't got the sound recorder out. And then deciding nearly the last day we walked that actually, if you're going to do that, it's actually quite tricky to do something as simple as walk from church to church to church and record each of them on an hourly basis.
But there was a nice sort of coincidence that came out of that, because one of the other things that had been our transect points was this idea of a portrait of us on a somewhat irregular basis, but that maybe every other day we broadcast a portrait of us standing together somewhere within the landscape, and either that was a close-up portrait or a shot with us sort of further back in the distance.
Okay, so let's get back onto the broadcasting.
Yes.
And the portraits. I mean, what we're talking about is a video.
Yes.
So you've not mentioned video when I said you were principally, a musician, you were principally a writer, and neither of you mentioned video. You're using video as a medium, but you're using it in a specific way.
Yes.
I mean, Field Broadcast is a computer program developed by a pair of artists in London called Rebecca Birch and Rob Smith. And it's a program that allows the artist to invite audience members to download a program onto their computer. And then whenever a broadcast or performance takes place, they will receive it if they're online at the time. It definitely involves a video camera, but it's not necessarily a film. There's no editing, there's no credits, there's no titles, there's no cut scenes. It's one shot, it's all edited in camera. You can't change it afterwards. What the camera sees, the audience member is seeing live, and no record of it is kept. Once it's gone, it's gone.
And is this something that you'd used before you came to the Sideways Festival, or was this almost like a trial run to see how A, it would work for you, and B, how you could work using it?
Yeah, I mean, I've used it before on a couple of projects, but basically Field Broadcast developed it a couple of years ago and have done a couple of projects with galleries in the UK. This is the first time they've given it to a pair of artists to go and use. I've kind of always explained it by sort of suggesting that Field Broadcast is kind of, they've invented a new type of paintbrush and artists can figure out how to use it. It's a medium for translating a message from the field, and I was very interested in it because an awful lot of my practice is walking out in the middle of nowhere, and I've been very interested in how can you transmit or translate an experience or image from that place to somewhere else.
Sort of every couple of days we've done a portrait, and which is very much coming from, so some of the broadcasts that we've done are very much like still, they're like painting, very much drawing on the single shot without the camera actually moving at all, and with very little movement, and sort of inspired by the sort of Flemish painters and the sort of those sort of classic landscapes that we've been walking through. So there was a nice coincidence the day that we were walking the churches, because we ended up, the first broadcast that we did that day turned out to be a famous church that Bruegel has
used in quite a few of his paintings,
so we were quite pleased.
We've been walking all day, and it was the fifth church we went to and decided to broadcast from, and it is very beautiful. But only after we'd done the broadcast did we go and read any information boards nearby that said this is Peter Bruegel's church.
So what you literally do is you set up a video camera,
yes,
pointed at yourselves or a scene that you've,
yes,
set up,
yeah,
and press a button far away.
And then the other sort of transect that we've done, so we've had the sort of churches day, we've had the portrait day, and then the other thing that we've done is playing with voice and violin. And so they're the sort of third type of thing that we've been doing, really.
Or our relationship to,
yes,
object relations.
Yes, that's it. It's both, really,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah.
So the sort of the voice and violin performances that we've done have been set up very much, again, referencing painting.
Yes.
So this camera is still, it's a set scene. We move within it, but very slowly, usually.
In one of the places we broadcast from, there was a piano. So actually it was piano and,
yeah,
voice and object. So it's something about being very responsive, the environment that we're
in. The situation.
And so in that sense, about scripting it, it's not scripted. We sort of set up the framework of what's going to happen, but then actually what happens is anything within that framework.
The moment we realise we're live or performing or broadcasting, Elle sort of starts off with a similar refrain, but then it evolves once you're going. And I've usually, with the voice, I've started with one particular text and then I start making up as I go along and we start interplaying,
yes,
between the two of us.
Because even with that, we've almost had three sets of material that we've worked with, actually, as we've been going. So as we started, we were sort of drawing on our previous collaboration. And so we did a performance at
Polygon Wood,
which is one of the sort of famous First World War sites, which I didn't know anything about, and we broadcast from there with a piece of work that we've made before. So that was our sort of starting point.
Yeah, but interestingly, the piece of work we made before, when we replayed it live to the audience in Menin, everyone assumed we had written it in relation to Flanders Fields, because it was about our bleak, sodden walk across North Wales and South Wales, which has melancholic overtones.
So let's explore what you do individually when you're not collaborating.
Well, I actually come from a background in international sort of community development. And so I've worked in various places throughout the world. And at some point, I sort of felt that actually music was a much more equitable way of communicating with people. Which is then that I met Bram, went and did the MA in Art and Ecology. But since finishing, I've been working a lot in Bristol with a fellow artist, Deborah Geary-Jones, and we've been working in various communities around building sites, sort of developments that are sort of happening, Section 106 planning money. And so I've had two commissions, one around a new library being built and one around a new hospital. With the library, developed a series of works over the last 2 years that have involved conversations and working, investigating what happens if you listen to a place, and if you do listen to it, what conversation would you have with it? And that's actually just culminating in a public art installation of, so everyone who's taken part in the project over the last 2 years has donated an object and a story, and the stories are being made into a book, and the objects, which are really very random, ranging from a free bus ticket to a coffin to a Hanukkah candle, so about 100 or so objects are being installed on the three-story wall of the library in little glass boxes. And so it's a sort of, how do you tell a story through the people that live there and their conversations and where they come from? I've been interested in field broadcasts because of how do you capture sometimes a trace of the immediacy of what you're doing, rather than the fact that you might be working for a long time, but actually the outcome might be a year down the line.
And what about yourself, Bram?
The final show for my MA, if we start from there, was exploring the possibility of a project called Walking Home. The idea of walking from the house I lived in at the time back to the house I was born in Switzerland, which became a project I did in 2009 at a show in London in a gallery, and then packed up that exhibition and then walked to Switzerland from London with the idea that I don't unpack the things I'd wrapped at the end of that exhibition until I have a show in St Gallen at the end of the project, which is now the end of the PhD. We'll finish with an exhibition in St Gallen. I mean, I've basically been walking and playing with walking and arts practice since about 2002. quite coincidentally. I mean, I was walking a lot and I was at art college. And then some friends of mine did another project, which was kind of social sculpture, where they handed out homework assignments to everyone in the class. And we all had to go away and do them over the summer break. And they handed me an envelope, which inside just said, find the source of a river and walk to its mouth. And so I lived in the Wye Valley, but fairly near a small tributary of the Wye Valley. That was kind of my first art walk, was walking along the Angidi River, which comes out into Tintern. And kind of since then, I haven't really made a work of art without walking. And I'm very much interested in sort of memory and interpretation in relation to writing, walking, drawing and installation. I have quite a fascination with performance installation and the inability to really ever finish an artwork. I quite like playing with artworks that are never finished.
Well, one of the things when we've worked together has definitely been around trespass, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where are you allowed to go? Permission can go there. Who says you can perform there? Who says you can do an installation there? So all of the things of what happens if you do...
Certainly the field broadcast sounds as though that lends itself to
that. Yeah, it's trust and power.
Yeah, you can trespass to a field broadcast and there's no evidence that you've been there.
Although what's interesting with the field broadcast is the thing that goes out a few minutes or a quarter of an hour, the time spent setting it up.
There's a couple of hours.
So there's a sort of little...
Yeah. The first time I used field broadcast, I was... Before then, part of the work I did on the MA, I kept ending up on Dartmoor at the end of a 9-mile long path from my front door and doing a series of performances called Actions For and Against Nature that I just did to film. And then I met Rebecca and heard about field broadcast and was like, right, I've been doing these things in the middle of nowhere to no one. How could they work as field broadcast? Could they work as field broadcast? They were sort of things like reading poetry to rocks, explaining particle physics to a river, throwing rocks at trees. Sort of between childish and philosophical and romantic and romanticised imagery. It kind of became our first collaborative piece in explaining power to a pipeline. Mm. Was kind of related to that series. So the first field broadcast I did was reading poetry to rocks, which I did in North Wales with my mum as technical assistant, which was fantastic because my mum has no idea what's going on at all. And a field broadcast is quite complicated. It's a laptop, it's a dongle, it's a firewire cable to a video camera. And then the live feed goes through the firewire over the internet, beamed via a server, downloaded then by anyone who's downloaded the programme. Walking and the way I write and the way my approach to writing is very much just writing anything you can remember and then rereading it and picking out what's interesting. I have a sort of editorial approach to my writing where I sort of try and abandon responsibility for it by letting other people edit it, inviting other people in, borrowing other people's writing, never telling the audience which bit's borrowed and which bit isn't in performances. So the performances we've been playing with are a mingling of my writing, lyrics from the Eurythmics, things we read in books, things Elle wrote, things I wrote, things we read on maps, things we read on gravestones, and sort of, but never acknowledging sources in performance.
And they're quite democratic in that sense.
Yeah.
You have to be quite like... Once you kick it out there, it's there to be messed around with.
Now this is where I ask you to recommend a couple of walks. One each, perhaps.
One of my favourite walks is in South Wales, and it's from a place called Llantony. It's up onto Offa's Dyke, and it goes round in a horseshoe over Lord Hereford's Knob. It has a beautiful view, a place that, since I've been a kid, I've been going there, and we used to call it the end of the world, because you just look out over Wales.
And one from you?
The Angidi Valley, River Valley, which is a tributary that runs from Devorden in South Wales to Tintern, and then you cross the River Wye and up to something called Devil's Pulpit. And it's sort of where I spent quite a lot of my childhood in that part of the world. And the Angidi River Valley is a tiny little thing, there's some trout fisheries on it, but there's also some old forges, and it's where the first transatlantic telephone cable was built, forged, in an iron forge there. And then you come out into Tintern, which is where the really famous Cistercian Abbey is, through Turner's paintings and up into Wordsworth's Wood. And then you sit on Devil's Pulpit and you look back down the valley at Tintern Abbey.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Bram Thomas Arnold and Eleanor Willen Davis. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.